Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Hello, and welcome to today's episode. As we continue the Gracebook series, we're going to be looking at Level 2 Bible Study today. I'm so glad that you're tuning in. I hope that this series has been an encouragement for you. I hope it has been motivating. I hope it has been something that is really stirring your heart to be more intentional in your time with God's Word. We are past the halfway point of this series. We will be doing a Level 2 Bible study this week. We'll be taking a break next week for Labor Day weekend. And the following week, we'll finish with the Bible study portion with Level 3 Bible study. We're going to talk about reading plans, and then we're going to talk a little bit about scripture meditation and memorization. Then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about putting it all together and kind of working this into a morning and evening routine that works for you, that helps you to connect with God and start and end your day with Him. And so we have probably four more episodes to go, maybe three, depending on how wordy I get here. So we'll see how it goes. So we're about a month away or so from finishing up this series. I plan to revamp some of the handouts, kind of clean them up a little bit. Some of these I'm doing so fast, I feel like I could do a little better if I had a little more time. So throughout the fall, I'll be updating those and putting some cleaner and maybe prettier copies on the website. Just remember that if you go to my personal blog, which is journalmoxie.com, you can find, there's a section called Gracebook there, and the files are there, and you can kind of see what they look like. There's a little bit for many of them, except for the ones that are in zip files. You actually see a little preview, so if there's something you're missing, you can kind of scroll through there and just see what's available there, and I'll be cleaning that up more in the months ahead. Today we're talking about Level 2 study, and Level 2 study is just for those who have maybe a little more time than a Level 1 study would take, or maybe you have a little more skill and you want to dig a little deeper. I want to point out and say we're going to talk in a week or two here about when we get to reading plans and some of that kind of stuff, and we're going to talk about the pace of study. So it doesn't have to be, I mentioned that this Level 2 was good for people who had more time or wanted to go deeper. It doesn't have to be both of those. If you want to go deeper, but you don't have more time, you just spend the amount of time you have doing a deeper kind of study and you stay in the passage longer. So if you have 20 minutes and you've been doing one of the basic methods that we talked about last week in 20 minutes, and you want to add in a little bit of a deeper study, maybe one of the things we're going to talk about today kind of interests you and you'd like to add a deeper study, well, then what you do is on Monday, you do your normal study that you've been doing in your Level 1 to kind of introduce yourself to it. And then in that very same passage on Tuesday, you would start a Level 2 type of study where we dig deeper, and you could begin to do that and you could study through that. And that might take you a couple of days if you only have, let's say, 10 or 15 minutes. It could take you a whole week to go through one passage. That's okay. In fact, I think that for many of us, sticking around a passage longer than we do would be very beneficial. We tend to be, in our culture, we're big on production. We like to produce things. So crossing things off of our list makes us feel good. But the problem is Bible study isn't something you can cross off a list. It's something that God is continually using your circumstances and the things that He brings into your life to help you interpret God's Word and help you to understand it and to apply it to your own life. And so however long you're in a passage is perfectly fine, because everything in your life is going to be working together to help you learn from that. And God will speak to you in that passage on day 1 and on day 7 and on day 19 if you're still there. And I don't think that there's a problem with doing that. The problem comes, I think, when it gets to staying in a passage too long, is more that we just don't feel comfortable tackling something else. So we feel like we kind of know what this means, and so we're going to hang out here a while and a little bit scared to venture into another section. Or maybe we've finished a book of the Bible study that we really enjoyed, but we're a little nervous about, you know, jumping into a different kind of book, maybe a different genre in the Bible, so we kind of hang out too long one place. But other than that, I think that you can take as long as it takes. And I think you need to stay there until you feel like you're ready to move on. And for me, sometimes I'm in the same passage a couple of days, and sometimes I'm in it one day. And sometimes I finish the passage and I jump into the next one. And other times I finish it and I wait till the next day to start the next one. It's just kind of fluid, I think. It can be whatever it needs to be for you. And I wouldn't get hung up in trying to assume that, you know, you need an hour to do this type of level two studies. You probably don't. For most all of this that we're going to talk about today, you can just stop when your time is done and pick it right up the next day. Let's say that this first method we're going to talk about has seven questions. Well, let's say that you only get through five of them in the 20 minutes that you have today. That's fine. Just stop there. Pick back up and do six and seven. And then if you still have a little bit of time and you want to jump into the next passage, start again. I know that it sounds weird, and for many of us, we like that. We might be a little OCD to leave something unfinished and pick it back up the next day, or to do half sections of Bible study. But I think the only thing holding you back in that regard is you. There really isn't any scriptural precedent for not sitting there and finishing all seven questions. You certainly have a lot of freedom. And so I would encourage you, when you're ready to go deeper, you know, that does not mean you need to add time. If you can, great. But if you can't, that doesn't mean you can't go on and study a little bit deeper in the passage. Now, for today's study, today's levels, we're going to talk about level two, and I'm going to give you two methods, and I'm going to go over them kind of briefly. And the reason I'm doing that is because I've talked about them so much in other places. And so I will direct you to some additional podcasts that will give you a much broader idea that we're going to go over here. I think that they'll be helpful to you to go back and listen to those if you have not done so yet and you would like to know more about these methods. Then what we're going to do is I'm going to talk to you a little bit about using worksheets, and I'm going to go over some of the worksheets that I have with you. Level two study, the best way that I can really define it is going beyond basic questions and starting to dig into the text. But it's not a study where you just open the Bible. Usually what we talk about when we talk about a level two study is a study that takes you a little deeper, but it's guided. It helps you. It gives you the questions. It gives you the format to follow, and you just fill in the blanks, so to speak, and you're doing a more in-depth Bible study. The third level is to open up a passage without anything and begin to dig in and start going here to this book to look this up and that book to look that up. The level two kind of bridges a basic study with a more in-depth study by giving you tools and worksheets and things like that to help you. So this first one is called the Seven Arrows Method. It's something I have used a great deal for quite some time now. I really have enjoyed it. I taught on it on podcast number 47, and you can go back and take a look at that. That was the podcast where I explained it in greater detail. And then in podcast number 69, I do a Seven Arrows study on the podcast. I actually take a passage of scripture in the book of Jonah and I answer all seven questions and I kind of walk you through the process. So what I would encourage you to do, if this method is interesting to you, I would encourage you to go back and listen to episode 47 so you get a fuller, meatier understanding of this. And then go on to podcast number 69 where I actually walk you through a passage. And go ahead and get your Bible and a piece of paper and a copy of this, these seven arrow questions, and do it right on the podcast with me. Kind of take notes as I'm talking and look through it. I think you'll find that very beneficial, and that'll be a good start into this method. after you've done that, I would just say jump in. This is something that I think the questions give you a very well-rounded look at what the passage might be saying. So here are the questions, and what the arrows are. The arrows are they're directional. When you take a look at the show notes and the handout, you'll see that the arrows are all different, and each arrow represents a question. So there's an arrow that kind of looks like mostly a circle. And that's, you know, what does it say? That's kind of like an overview. You're just kind of like going around and looking at what's in there. What is this about? Generally, when I answer that question, I will just summarize the entire passage in a sentence or two. That's just kind of an overview of what it's about, so that if I'm going back through my notes later, I can see what that passage was talking about, and kind of just gives me a little bit of a framework to make sure that I understand clearly what is the basic gist of the chapter or the passage that I'm studying. And then there's a backwards arrow that says, what does it say to its original audience? And this is where you often will want to look in your study notes of your Bible and see if they give you any little clues about things, things that have made more sense if you lived back in that time. You know, sometimes there are things that we don't always understand. And when we read the study notes, we realize, oh, okay, I get it, because it's something that would have been more familiar to them. I shared with you not too long ago that I was reading in the book of Psalms, and in the book, the psalmist writes, your lot falls for me in pleasant places. And when I looked up that word lot, I realized that it meant a device that makes decisions. And so the psalmist is actually saying that the decisions that you guide me to are the right ones. They're pleasant. And without really understanding that a lot wasn't something that was proportioned out to me, like this is my lot. But what he's saying actually is that it's a process of making decisions. So God's decisions, the things that he does in his life, in the psalmist's life, work out well. They fall for me in pleasant places. So understanding that word really helped me make sense of that verse in a way that I probably wouldn't have if I had taken our more modern day interpretation of the word lot, like a lot or a piece of property. And so I think that it's very helpful to ask that question, what would it have said to them? And that's where you might look up a word and see what the dictionary says it means, or you might read a study note or a commentary and just see if they have any insight in that verse that would help you understand it a little better from the perspective of its original audience. The third arrow is an upward arrow, and this question should be very familiar to you. What does it say about God? We talked about that being the most important question you can ask of any text. And once you've got a little understanding of what the passage is talking about with those first two questions, then you can start breaking it down into specifics. So that first one is, what does it say about God? And then the next kind of break it down question is a downward arrow coming down, and it's, what does it say about man? What do I learn about myself or human nature in this verse? And then the next question is an arrow that's kind of pointing over to the right, and kind of as if it's pointing toward me almost. What does it demand of me? What is this passage that we just read? What is it that I'm being called to do because of it? And then the next question is an arrow with the little arrow pointer on both ends. And it asks, how does it change the way I relate to people? Is there something in this verse that makes me want to do something in regards to my relationships or think differently about a group of people or a person because of what I've just studied? And then the last question is an arrow that kind of goes straight and then swoops up. And that is, how does it prompt me to pray? What about these things that I've just learned from this passage, what about them prompts me to go to God and talk to him about it, whether it's to ask his help or to confess something or to praise him for something. Now, these seven questions taken individually are all pretty simple, but put together, they come up with a really well-rounded look at the scripture. I would suggest that you choose no more than a chapter when you do the seven arrows method. For most books of the Bible, a chapter is a really good kind of like, I think, kind of the sweet spot when it comes to something like the Seven Arrows method. The only thing I would say differently is when you get into the epistles, when you get into Romans and Ephesians and Galatians and Timothy and Thessalonians, those tend to be very theologically dense, and you might find that doing the Seven Arrows method works better in paragraphs. So often you can just use the little headings in your Bible that show you, this is its own little section, and then it goes on. So you might have three sections in a chapter, or two, or five, depending on how long the chapter is and what kind of book that it is. That's the Seven Arrows method. In your show notes for today, you will find a paper that I made that will help you just kind of see the arrows, and you can fill in the worksheet part of it. And there's a color copy in black and white that you can use to do your own Seven Arrows study. And remember, the podcasts are 47 and 69 if you'd like to learn more. The next one is verse mapping. Now, there's a lot of methods of verse mapping out there. Probably as many verse mapping methods as there are people that teach it, because everybody kind of has their own thing. I'm not sure where it originated from. I've been doing some form of verse mapping since, I guess, the early 90s. I tells you how old I am. I'm older than everyone thinks. But I was in college when I first started doing some basic verse mapping, and over the years have learned some newer methods and some different things. The handout that's in your show notes that covers verse mapping is just my method. It's just kind of how I worked it out once I learned, and there were some things I used to do that I don't do as much anymore. I don't find as helpful, or just seemed a little redundant, and other things I picked up recently. So this is just my method. There's certainly a lot of them out there, and so if this is something that you enjoy, but maybe you're struggling a little bit with some of the points of it, you can scout around on the internet, and you can probably find a lot of different methods of verse mapping. I'm going to go over it briefly, but I cover it in episodes 39 and 60, and I do two different podcasts on it. Both would be very helpful. I would encourage you to listen to those, just because I'm trying to keep these Gracebook podcasts kind of short as more introductory podcasts to the topic. And then you can go back and listen to these others where I've covered it more in depth. So what I do is, when I do verse mapping, is I have a little, I work for a church, and we're really fond of having things that are the first letter spelled out a word, or they're very, everything starts with the letter A or whatever. I know if you hang around church very long, you know we're fond of those. This one I just put in a little format where it's just each heading, it's just two words. And so it's write it, map it, summarize it, apply it, and pray it. And that's kind of the process that you do. So in the write it section, I usually pause just to read the passage through. And I do try to read it slowly and pay attention to it. So let's say, for just an example, that we're going to be doing Romans chapter 1. I would read all of chapter 1. I would just kind of read it. You know, I wouldn't race through it. The goal is not to get through it. The goal is to understand it. So I'd read it somewhat slowly and pay attention to it. And then I would choose one verse that really stands out that I want to get to know more about. I would pick one verse out of that chapter, and I would write it on a note card or in my journal or on a worksheet, which I have worksheets provided for you. And you just want to write it out. And what I try to do when I write it is I leave a lot of space between the lines, and I leave margin space on either side. Because we're actually going to take the verse and mark it up. That's where the word mapping comes from. We're going to start taking stuff, drawing arrows, making notes. So you want to leave lots of space when you write it out so that you can write around it. And what I find it helpful is I find it helpful to write the verse in black ink and then do all of my notes in colors. And I will often do each of the things we're going to talk about when we map it. I would do each one of them in a separate color. And that helps me just visually If I'm looking for something, if I want to go back and refer to it, then I can identify cross-references as opposed to verses that I looked up the Hebrew or Greek word for, because I know that the color, I can just search for that color. You can choose to do it any way you'd like, but that's how I do it. So you're going to mark up the verse. Once you've written it, you're going to map it, and you're going to mark it up this way. You're going to highlight the things that stand out to you. And that's the first thing. You go through the verse, start reading it from the beginning, and you want to highlight things that stand out. Now, for the rest of the rest of these things that we're going to mark, what you would want to do is you probably want to pull those from what you've highlighted, because what you've highlighted is what's really leaping off the page. So now that we've highlighted some things, let's dig into them, okay? So I always box any words that refer to context. Context, there's a little phrase if you study the Bible, context is king. They talk about the fact that context is really everything. You have to understand what came before it to make sure that you're understanding it correctly. That's one of the reasons why if you ever hear of a sermon or read an article or a book where they talk about misused passages in the Bible, a lot of times Philippians 4:13 comes up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's because often people's application of that verse has nothing to do with the context of what that verse was written in. And I don't have time to get into that. You'll have to read it yourself and see if you can figure out the problem that a lot of people have with application of that verse. But that verse gets applied wrong because they are not reading it in context with verses 1 through 12. Now, context is really important, and there are times when context becomes critical, and that's when you see words like therefore, or in view of, because of, for. When you see those words, they are referring to something that came before it. And so for you to get a clear understanding of what that verse is talking about, you need to look up to the verses ahead of it and make sure that you understand it. So when I see one of those words that indicates to me there's very important context just before it, I put a box around that word, and then I will go and look in my Bible and I'll read the section before, and I will summarize what that word is referring to. So if it's a therefore, I will just summarize. Paul just explained our identity in Christ. And then, you know, when he goes on and says, therefore, walk as children of light, he's saying that because we are, and that's what he's been convincing us of. And so I like to just summarize real quick, sometimes just a few words, what that word is referring to. And then after you box the context and make a little note about that, you circle any words that you want to define. And for most people, I would start by just looking them up in the dictionary, making sure that you understand the words. Sometimes it helps to look them up and look at the synonyms and see a few other words that mean have similar meanings. If you are savvy and have a Strong's Concordance and can look up the word there, you'll get a broader definition, and you can even look up the Greek and Hebrew from that. And we're going to be doing that. I'm going to teach you a little bit about looking up words in the Strong's Concordance, and I'm going to do that through my YouTube channel, which is hopefully going to go live in the beginning of September, middle of September. And I'll be doing some little things like that because it's kind of hard. I mean, I've talked it about it on the podcast, but it's a lot harder to do just telling you about it. It's a lot easier for you to see it. And so we'll be doing that through a video a little later this fall. And but those of you that know how to do that and can do that, sometimes Bible software can help you. You can circle some words that you want to look up and then look them up. And when you do, just write what you learned about the word and what its meaning right there by the word, or this is where your margins and the extra space in between your lines. You can just draw a little arrow and write the definition in the side or wherever you can find a spot. Wavy underline means that these are verses that you're going to look up cross-references for. Many of your Bibles will have cross-references. They'll usually be in a center margin or maybe on the bottom of the page. You'll see a little alphabet letter after a word. And so you might see the word, faith in a passage, and after it is a little lowercase j. If you find the lowercase j in the notes section, there's often other verses listed there. And it helps for you to go and look those up, because what that's telling you is that that particular word faith is also used in these other verses. So you can learn more about that word by looking up those other verses. You'll notice that sometimes when you do that, you can't find the word. So I might have looked up faith might be in this verse, but when I go to the cross-reference, it might use the word believe. And so they don't always get translated the same because of nuances and meaning, but they are the same Greek or Hebrew word. And so that's where you begin when you start doing cross-references and you look some of those things up. That's where you really begin to get an understanding of not just that verse, but the whole of Scripture. You begin seeing how it works together to give one cohesive narrative through from beginning to end. After you've looked up your cross-references and put any notes that you've learned about those, then you add any commentary notes that you make. And what I usually do is I will put a number next to the section that I'm writing the commentary note about. And then I usually just do that on the back if I'm using a worksheet, or down at the bottom of the page if I've done it in a journal, so that I can tie the note to the section of the verse that it's talking about. But often commentary notes I can't write them in the margin, because sometimes I might write several sentences or a whole paragraph from the commentary. Once you've done the mapping and your verse is gotten its boxes and circles and highlights and wavy underlines and all of your notes and arrows and everything are written, then you would summarize it. And I usually try to do that in three sentences or less. I summarize, what I've learned from that verse. Summarizing is something that some people skip, and I think that's a mistake. I think it's really important to summarize that verse and what you learned about it in a few sentences, because you won't necessarily have to go back, and you can just go back and read those summaries, and you don't have to read all your notes and everything, and it's really clear. I think sometimes if you just do the mapping and you make all your marks and everything, and you go back later, it doesn't always make sense the same way. A summary can really help it be useful to you 6 months from now when that isn't fresh in your mind. And I think it's a mistake not to summarize. Then I always ask myself, there's an apply section. Is there something that I need to start doing, stop doing, pray about, talk about, think about, or praise about? Is there something that, I really need to do about this verse that I've just studied? And that would be in the apply it section. And then the last one is pray it. Just talk to God. Tell him what you learned. Ask for his help if there's something that you need to apply. And thank him for what the Holy Spirit has been teaching you. Verse mapping is one of those things. It's I can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, but until you actually sit down and start doing it, it's going to seem kind of foreign. The more you do it, the more the easier it gets. The more you practice any skill, the easier it gets. So if you want to know more about verse mapping, I would listen to episodes 39 and 60 and then pick a verse and dive in. And if you're not sure where to start, I would encourage you to maybe start with one of the Scripture writing list and just take today's verse and sit down and verse map it. You may need to read a little more about the passage around it to give you some context, but that's a good place to just kind of get your feet wet, is to just pick out a verse already chosen for you instead of reading a chapter and trying to pull a verse out on your own. Now, the biggest thing that's helpful about level two study is having a format to follow. I just gave you two formats to follow, the seven arrows and the verse mapping. They dig a little bit deeper, but they don't require you to make it all up on your own. You're kind of following their format. Many online plans, if you do the She Reads Truth or the First Five or the Love God Greatly, or there's a bunch of them out there. If you do those, many of them offer worksheets or some kind of download that you can use. not all of them that I've come across, but a good many of them do, to kind of give you a little bit of an opportunity to dig deeper. I would encourage you to find a study that gives you that. That kind of takes a little bit of the work away from you, and those with limited time or a little less certain of your skills would benefit from having the deeper questions provided for you. Also, a lot of the online study plans and things that you can do will provide stuff as well. I know Proverbs 31, their online Bible study, they have stuff that gets emailed out to you every week and gives you some questions and things to work on. So I think those things are really helpful. That takes you from just reading something to starting to dig into it, but yet it's not completely all, you're not all on your own. You're using material that kind of helps you. I have provided in your download for this particular episode, I have provided some basic worksheets that you can use for any study. And I'm going to very briefly, and just I'm going to try to do this in just a couple minutes, so we're going to go fast. I'm going to very briefly go over them. I would encourage you to download them and take a look at them. These are, once again, they're very basic. You can do them if you're doing, let's say you're going to do the She Reads Truth. Some of these studies would actually, these worksheets would work with those studies, whether you are using the materials they provide or not. If you want to take something a little deeper, these worksheets would work with them. They're generic enough that you could use them in any capacity, whatever study you're doing. So the first one is just an overview of the book of the Bible. I tend to ask a lot of these questions before I dig into study. Who's the author? Who's he writing to? Where was it written? When was it written? Why was it written? What's the main theme? What's the key verse? And what is the book outline? Those are some basic questions you can ask anytime you start a study, regardless of where you're doing your study from, that will help you. And just imagine if you filled these out every time you did a study of a book of the Bible. You would have a really interesting record of some of the things that you studied. And I think it would just be a real testament to your perseverance in study if you were to compile these as you go. Another one is a character worksheet. This asks some basic questions about the characters in the Bible. So it's going to ask you what passages refer to that character. What do you learn about his early life? What are the main points of his story? How did he interact with God? Did he meet with God? Did he talk with God? Was he a friend of God or was he an enemy of God? Just a little bit about his interactions with God. How about his friends and his family? What do we know of his family? Does he have any close friends? And then the worksheet asks you to describe the person in three words. That's one of my favorite questions to do, actually. I love to do character studies and to kind of take a look at that person's life and then summarize them in three words. And then the last part, what about their life would you like to emulate? How would you like to be like them? And that's another question that can really get into the application a little bit. I really liked how David continually poured out his heart to God, and I would like to be better about going to God with my fears and my uncertainties like he was. Okay, so that's just a little character worksheet that you can use to help you dig into the characters. I have a Proverbs worksheet for you, which is fun. This is what did I learn about wisdom and what did I learn about foolishness, and you can just kind of keep this ongoing. Just write down anything you learn about wisdom or anything you learn about foolishness from the book of Proverbs. I have a parable worksheet that will help you break down the meaning of the parables. Some of the stuff like how did the people respond to the parable? What meaning did Jesus give for the parable? What happened just before Jesus told it? That's a really important question because many parables are Jesus answering a question without answering it. So someone will say, well, what should we do about this, this, and this? And he'll say, well, this one guy I know, which is my paraphrase, but he'll also say, like, a certain man went out and bought a field, and then he'll tell this story. So he's actually answering a question by telling the story. So that's a good question to ask, and these worksheets will help you break down those parables. I also, lastly, I have a Psalms worksheet that tells you a little bit, it gives you some questions to ask about the psalmist. What does the psalmist reveal about God? How does this psalm help you praise God? Are there any blessings mentioned? And if there are, what conditions apply? You know, do I get this blessing or do I have to do something to get it? And that's a great way to work through the Psalms and ask some of those questions. And then the last one, this one really is the last one. I have a chapter worksheet that you can do for each book of the Bible. So in the worksheet, you would put the book at the top. You would list the chapter number and what the theme of the chapter is. And then the key verse. What do you think is the verse that kind of summarizes that chapter? And regardless of what study you're doing, you can fill that out and it just gives you a little bit more structure to your study. I would say that if I could describe level two that way, I think I would, you know, it's a structuring. It's taking just, you know, in the first one, you're just reading and you're just looking to find God in there and seeing if there's something he wants you to do. But in the second method, we're starting to structure differently. We're starting to ask additional questions of the text, and we're starting to make charts and lists and write things down. And our study is becoming a little more formal. Level two study is, I would say, where the vast majority of people will land. And I think that is, you would be surprised at the wealth of things that you can study that way, and the knowledge and the insight into God and who he is and how we are supposed to respond. You will get a great deal of insight by doing level two study. Now, for those of you that have a lot of time on your hands, or if you want to take a longer time in scripture and you really want to dig in and you want to study word by word practically, we're going to talk next week about level three study. And there's some things in there I think that everyone will find interesting, but I will say that for many people, level three study is a little difficult. It shouldn't be. It should be something that we can all do. I wish that more churches spent time teaching their people this kind of study. But I also understand that, you know, our world is just paced in such a way that makes level three study a little hard. So we're going to talk about it next week. I'm going to give you a few tips and some things that I've learned along the way. And we will wrap up all of this Bible study stuff. That podcast will be the first. It'll be the second podcast in September. So it'll be the 11th. The scripture writing for September has been posted today, so hopefully you'll get a chance to download that and join us in September and October. We'll be writing some of my favorite verses from the book of Isaiah, and so I hope you join us. That will be on social media, and I look forward to continuing this series in just a few weeks and all through the month of September as we wrap up the Grace Book series and the launching of my YouTube channel, which will be coming soon. I pray that God blesses your day, and I look forward to seeing you back at the podcast next time. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.